again, everyone, and welcome to it, a new week of the Daily Daily Caller podcast. This one is on the 21st day of January, 2019. It's a federal holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day. That means the federal government is shut down. The federal government was shut down last Monday, too, for a snowstorm, and we survived. Of course, the partial government shutdown still continues, and somehow we're surviving. We will highlight the people who are claiming to have difficulty, not to mock them, but to show how screwed up people are, and maybe to mock them. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Please tell a friend. Subscribe on whatever platform you use to subscribe to podcasts. We give you an update an hour a day, every weekday, on what's going on in the world and what it means. And mock the powerful, because they deserve it. You can email the program, compliments, complaints, whatever you got, at Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. I respond to almost, I think I'm batting 990, at least. But I respond to most of them. Every one of them I can. Certainly every one of them there's a question in. The shorter, the pithier, the better. I appreciate each and every one of you that tell me, oh, I've turned my sister onto it. I've turned my wife onto it, or the one guy whose wife isn't a fan because she's a liberal. I still welcome her to listen. You got to be able to laugh at yourself and the absurdity of the world, and it isn't all politics here. It's what's going on in this country and the world, and it just keeps getting more and more insane every single day. Forget fluoride in the water. Maybe we need Prozac in the water, at least in some liberal water. We've got the president came out with his compromise plan on Saturday. We'll get to that. I thought that's going to be the biggest story of the weekend. Then the video came out. The video, by the video, I mean the story of a Catholic high school student who dared stand in front of a guy beating a drum in his face. No, I'm not kidding. This is where we are as a society. This is how screwed up we are as a society, that for 24 hours, not a single media outlet did a smidgen of journalism on this thing. They just crucified these kids. These kids were high school students from Covington Catholic in Kentucky, a Catholic school that was out in Washington, D.C. for the March for Life on Friday. And they were minding their own business. They went to, we're going to play some audio that's going to be kind of long. One clip in particular is going to be kind of long because I could play dozens of clips from media outlets that expose how corrupt they are, or I could just pick the one that really exemplifies how awful our media is and talk about that. And I thought that was a better way to go because there's a lot to say on this crap. But it started at the Lincoln Memorial. The students, it's a Catholic school, they came out here for the March for Life. That's their right to do, but the left hates them because they're a religious school and they were here to protest for the right for life. Those two things, and they were mostly white students. Those three things they despise more than almost anything else except for people named Trump. So when footage surfaced on social media, I love this. You know, it was a very short clip of a noble Native American trying to drum for some reason in the face of a student who was described as having a smirk. I don't know you about you, but when I was in high school, if some jackass comes up to me and starts getting in my face, either they're yelling or they're doing nothing, just staring me down, you get that look on your face like, what the hell is going on? What am I supposed to do here? I'm just standing here minding my own business. If you know, do I move? Do I sit perfectly still? What do I do? And most of the time, people sit perfectly still because you know if you move, the person's just going to move with you. They didn't get into your face by accident. The National Mall and the steps leading up to the Lincoln Memorial are a wide expanse. You don't walk directly into somebody's face without by accident. It just doesn't happen. You can sometimes do that little do-si-do where you both go the wrong direction and you're right in front of each other, but you don't walk right up to somebody and then stop there. We're not, what was that Dr. Seuss character? They weren't north-going Zacks and south-going Zacks. One guy was standing still, the kid, the high school junior, and the other guy in his 60s marched right up to him, beating a drum in his face. On its face, you should know who the douchebag is. And I'm all against, you won't find anybody more rabidly anti-douchebag than me. But it's important to properly identify who the douchebag is so that they can be the focus of the proper scorn. Yet, the media didn't bother. They took this snippet of a video and said, look at the smirk on this kid's face. He's wearing a Make America Great Again hat. He's with other students wearing Make America Great Again hats. This is clearly racism. This noble Native American who never did nothing to nobody, especially a dentist, apparently. He's just trying to mind his own business, and these kids were mocking them. The story went out that these kids were chanting, build the wall, right in this guy's face. The only problem was, the video that they were using didn't show anybody saying, build the wall. Wasn't any, none of that, no wall mentioned whatsoever. But the noble Native American, who is to be believed because he is a noble Native American, not even questioned, his name is Nathan Phillips, he was accepted as gospel truth. Right after the event, or soon after the event, on social media, he posted a video. Now, this audio has, there's like a plane flying over the background. If you've ever been to the mall, or if you've never been to the mall in Washington, D.C., it's right near the Potomac. And down the Potomac is essentially the approach for Reagan National Airport for landing. So you hear planes a lot. So the audio, you can hear it, but there's that noise in the background. I want to play you the audio that this guy, Nathan Phillips, posted that sort of helped set this story off.
Gracious, you know, when I was there singing, and I heard them saying, build that wall, you know. This is indigenous lands. You know, we're not supposed to have walls here. We never did. For millennium, before anybody else came here, we never had walls. We never had a prison. We always took care of our elders. We took care of our children. We always provided for them. Talk them right from wrong.
But not dental hygiene. You hear him? This is indigenous land. So that lets you know right away that this is a liberal activist. Well, you've got no business being here. The media, of course, made it a race issue. And it is a race issue. Clearly, he thinks that this land belongs to the Indians and nobody else has any right to be here. Somehow it was utopia until Whitey showed up. Of course, it was not. It was not civilized. There were wars, just like everywhere else in the world. It's nobody's fault that one side of the planet built ships and the other side didn't. And one side advanced in technology and ability and the other side didn't. That's what happened. You're supposed to adapt. But he wants to make it about, they're chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. There is no audio of them chanting, build the wall. In fact, the media, after 24 hours of spreading this lie, started to walk this back because more and more video started showing up. We'll get to that in a bit. But it's kind of funny and ironic because you got to remember the media that used this little snippet. I think it was like a minute and a half, and they mostly used still photographs, one still capture from the video of the kid having an awkward smirk on his face with the drummer standing in front of him, beating on it. The drum is literally inches from his face. And this old man is just staring him down. Did it on purpose. There's no question about it. Walked up to the kid. The media used that and accepted the narrative that came along with that as gospel truth. Now, what happens every time someone like James O'Keefe releases a video of some liberal undercover saying horrible things, exposing fraud, exposing politics, exposing bias, What happens when they release that? Those videos are immediately dismissed by the left as heavily edited. They don't show the whole picture. We can't possibly know the whole picture. Even when O'Keefe releases the entire video unedited, in addition to the five-minute report that he puts out, they say, well, these heavily edited videos, discredited because they're heavily edited. Meanwhile, everything the media uses is heavily edited. When they talk about a speech from the President of the United States, they don't show the whole speech. They show 5 seconds of it, maybe. And should we just look at them and say, well, that's a heavily edited thing and you're not giving it proper context? No, that's how news packages work. They're supposed to give you an honest picture and use snippets in an honest way. They don't do that anymore. But I find it ironic that they took this one video, this one clip of one video, and a still photograph to distill it down to the smallest heavily edited amount humanly possible and reported it as if it were carved into stone tablets by a burning bush. Oh, heavily edited James O'Keefe videos. That's ridiculous. You know what? Planned Parenthood trying to harvest and sell and cut the best deal possible for aborted fetus organs. Those are heavily edited. Of course, the thing I would always say to that is quite simple. You know, well, you know, you're talking about things out of context. In what context is it good to say, you know, I want your help in setting up an underage children's prostitution ring when the Acorn videos came out? Because the left started this with the heavily edited back then. Is there a good context where the other person says, I'm perfectly willing to help you set up a child prostitution ring and import children from around the world to feed your child prostitution business? Is there a good context for that? No, there isn't. But they ignore the whole thing because they say, well, it's heavily edited and we couldn't possibly know the context. In what context is negotiating over the price of fetal baby organs from an abortion provider? In what context is that good? What context is sitting around going, yeah, you know what, I want to buy a Lamborghini because I want to sell me some livers and brains? What context does that make perfect sense? They never answer that question because they never ask that question. They're on board with the narrative from the get-go. And along those lines, that's exactly what happened with this story of Nathan Phillips. Before the kid was even identified, they were calling for his head. Kathy Griffin, the former comedian, was talking about how she wants this kid's name known and she wants to ruin his life. He is a racist for getting in this guy's face and being a racist. That's the evidence they had. He's a racist because he's a racist and he must be destroyed. All he did was stand there. So along those lines, CNN sat down, of course, with Nathan Phillips. They talked to him. They put together a package. They did no independent journalism. They did no verification, even though social media was littered with hours of video from this event. They chose not to do any of it. They simply took Nathan Phillips' word for it. And by the way, Nathan Phillips, if you notice, is referred to constantly as a Native American elder. A Native American elder. He's old. He's in his 60s. I don't know what constitutes an elder except for being old, but I do know what is conveyed by using that word, that term, that descriptor. It is knowledge. It is wisdom. You think, well, you go talk to the elders and they will give you the truth. In movies, that's always the way it works. You go and talk to the tribal elders and they shall figure things out for you. They shall help you on your journey. In reality, he's just old. He's just old. He also is constantly referred to as a Vietnam veteran. Which, by the way, on the elder thing, if you notice, they use the word dossier to describe the Steele opposition research. It's opposition research. But if you called it opposition research, that has negative connotations for it. It means somebody, his opponent was looking into him. If you call it a dossier, it gives it the stamp of credibility. It's important why it's official sounding and governments deal with dossiers. political hack campaigns deal with opposition research, so we shall call it a dossier. It happens all the time. This guy is just a random liberal activist, and we're going to call him an elder because he's old. That's why they call him an elder. And he calls himself, he's referred to in the media reports as a Vietnam veteran, but in these audio clips we hear, he refers to himself once as a Vietnam time veteran. Meaning, we don't know. Nobody's bothered to check. Nobody seems to have asked him, did you actually serve in Vietnam, or did you happen to be in the military during the Vietnam War? There's a very important difference. Senator Dick Blumenthal out of Connecticut used to go around when he was running for Attorney General of the state of Connecticut, which he won because it's Connecticut. He talked all the time about his service in Vietnam, Unquestioned. Then finally somebody said, hey, wait a second, you didn't actually go to Vietnam. You were in the military during the Vietnam War, but you were always stateside. So you aren't actually a Vietnam veteran, which is an important distinction. In Blumenthal's case, it was stolen honor. In the case of Phillips, I haven't seen him claiming to be a Vietnam veteran. The only audio I've heard of him or video I've seen of him talking about being a veteran was when he says Vietnam time veteran. So he can't be accused of lying, but the media can be accused of being completely fraud, complete frauds here. Anyway, he sat down with CNN and said this.
I had put myself in a really dangerous situation, you know, it was like, here's a group of people who were angry at somebody else, and I put myself in front of that, and all of a sudden, I'm the one who's all that anger and all that wanting to have the freedom to just rip me apart. You know, that was scary.
So these high school students who were standing there that Phillips walked up to wanted to tear him apart. They did. This was unquestioned on CNN because it fit their narrative. White kids make America great again hats. They're obviously racist. That's just science. Moving on. Don't question it. CNN doesn't either.
I'm a Vietnam Times veteran, and I know that mentality of there's enough of us. We can do this.
There's the Vietnam Times veteran, which doesn't really tell you much of anything, but it doesn't also raise any curiosity amongst any of the liberal journalists who interviewed Mr. Phillips, apparently. I'm a Vietnam Times veteran. Well, if you are a clerk serving in the military at some base in Omaha, Nebraska, if there is a base there, you are technically serving during a time of war. But if you never leave Omaha, you can't really say you're an Iraq war veteran or an Afghanistan war veteran. Can you? Of course you can't. None of this interests CNN because that would be too much like journalism.
Then Phillips describes the tense moments now being replayed over and over again online when a young man got right in his face. Watch.
When I started going forward and that massive groups of people started separating and moving aside to allow me to move out of the way or to proceed, this young fella put himself in front of me and wouldn't move. And so if I took another step, I would be putting my person into his presence, into his space, and I would have touched him. And that would have been the thing that the group of people would have needed to spring on me.
Now you can hear the CNN pseudo-journalist go, like, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Nothing you heard him say is true. Nothing you heard Nathan Phillips say is remotely accurate. Because after the media started reporting on this, actually before the media started reporting on this, they didn't do any basic journalism. On social media, there was video, a lot of video. I mean, you're dealing with a bunch of high school kids who live on their phones. They film everything. It's not a day if they didn't post something on it. It doesn't exist if you don't post it on Instagram. Every solid bowel movement must be talked about on social media. So, of course, there is a lot of footage from all different angles, from varying lengths of time, including one that's several hours long from a different group that we'll get to in a second, that show that Phillips actually marched right up to the student with his little drum, banging and chanting and banging and chanting. The kid didn't move. The kid didn't get in his way. And the kid is standing there like, what in the hell am I supposed to do? What is this? What's going on here? Is this guy going to attack me? What's going on? And he got that nervous smile on him. And all that's the video that made the rounds on Saturday. Nowhere in that video did you hear any racial or ethnic slurs. Nowhere in that video was there, in any of these videos, was there chance of build the wall, which Phillips said they were doing. Another total lie. The media went with the lie because the lie fit the narrative. The New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, of course, went all in. Facts didn't matter. There was no reason to check anything. Why would Phillips lie? Well, Phillips would lie because he's a left-wing activist who doesn't like this country. He views this country as stolen native lands. Well, tough. Get over it. Later on, the story started to change, and eventually the New York Times and all outlets ran stories similar to this. The New York Times sort of walk-back story is entitled Fuller Picture Emerges of Viral Video Between Native American Man and Catholic Students. A fuller picture. Well, shouldn't you as journalists have gotten a fuller picture before you bothered to report on this? Shouldn't that be part of the job? When somebody comes with you and just gives you their side of the story, are you supposed to fact check it, or are you supposed to say, stop the presses, let's run with this? Of course you're supposed to fact check it. Even the walk back is pretty pathetic in the New York Times. They write, soon the Native American man, Nathan Phillips, 64, looks a lot older, was encircled by an animated group of high school boys. No, he wasn't. He walked up to them. Then when the walk back continues, they say, it was a provocative image that rocketed across social media, leading many, including the student's own school, to condemn the boy's behavior as disrespectful. But on Sunday, Mr. Phillips clarified that it was he who had approached the crowd and that he had intervened because racial tensions, primarily between the white students and the black men, there was a black group there, a racist black group there that I believe Phillips was a part of, judging by what they say, were coming to a boiling point. Quote, I stepped in between to pray, Mr. Phillips said. So Phillips told the New York Times that he stepped in between these two groups to pray. Now, video shows that these students weren't anywhere near the, what are they called? The Black Israelis. I think that's what they're called. They're a racist group. They believe in multiple marriages. They don't really care. They're insane. They are the Black Hebrew Israelites. Google it if you want to know more about them. We have some audio of them swearing and using racial slurs I'll play in a bit. But it was originally when he talked to CNN on Saturday that he was just minding his own business, having a little one-man drum circle, trying to walk, and this group of white students got in his way, got in his face. On Sunday, when more videos had emerged, Phillips' story changed. He says, I stepped in between to pray. He didn't pray. He got in this kid's face. Around that time, Times reports, he said, Mr. Phillips approached asking to borrow a drum. Together they headed into the center of the students, creating a sort of prayer circle. Now again, there was no mention of prayer circles or anything. He was just walking around beating a drum the day before. And then as more evidence came out, well, the story had to change because the evidence had changed. Normally, this would cause a journalist, first of all, a journalist should have looked into this beforehand, but once the story dramatically changes to they circled me to I walked up to them, you maybe start thinking this isn't a news story, or this story is completely different. But the media had already reported the lie, because the media is a lie. Asked why he felt the need to walk into the group of students, Philip said he was trying to reach the top of the memorial, where friends were standing. But Phillips also said he saw more than a teenage boy in front of him. He saw a long history of white oppression of Native Americans. Isn't that lovely? Now he wanted to march to the top to meet a friend? Does he need to walk to the beat of his own drum, literally? This is another lie. The story is still full of lies. It's ever evolving, but it hasn't gotten anywhere near the truth. He said he wanted to walk. He could have walked to the top. There's plenty of room to walk to the top. He didn't. He walked up to this student. He walked up to this group of students, and to this one in particular, whose name I'm not going to give. He's already receiving death threats because of tolerant liberals. But it's a flat-out lie. Quote, Philip said, "Why should I go around him? I'm just taking the 500 years of genocide. I'm just thinking of 500 years of genocide in this country. What your people have done. You don't even see me as a human being. End quote. Suddenly, this sweet, sweet, nourishing elder becomes a full-blown racist victim progressive activist that we was already sort of exposed as before. So he looks at this high school kid and sees 500 years of oppression. I don't know how anybody like this gets out of bed in the morning. I don't know how a journalist can look at the things that they said and the things they reported in the previous 24 hours without doing any fact-checking and not vomit uncontrollably, sob, and apologize for what they did in the name of their profession. They committed complete and total fraud. I hope somebody sues their asses. But this is, there he is, right? Oh, it's just Whitey. I just saw Whitey and wanted to get into his face. Well, I thought you were going up to the top to meet your friends. I thought you were just minding your own business. None of that was true. 24 hours later, and everything about the original story was exposed as a fraud. Why? Because finally, some people started doing what's called journalism. Just basic journalism, not a deep dive into this guy's past, not a serious expose on what happened. It was, they looked up on social media and they saw, hey, wait, there's more video of this. And it doesn't jive with the story he's telling. Different angles, no chance. He walked up to them. For many, including many Democratic members of Congress, it didn't stop them from tweeting about it Sunday, saying how disgusting it was and how Donald Trump had caused this because they were wearing Make America Great Again hats and they were clearly racist. No, Nathan Phillips was a racist, and he was hanging with racists. Before I play this whole CNN Essie Cup garbage that should embarrass her, she should probably, I would just spend endless hours apologizing and even consider resigning if I were this far out on a limb and looked this foolish and brought this much disgrace upon myself and my profession. I want to play you some of the audio, because this, in a different CNN package, they glossed over what the Black Hebrew Israelites were saying to these high school students. CNN referred to it as they were saying racial slurs. They don't play any of them in their package. It's not worth playing. I'm going to play it for you. I think it's about a minute long. And there is offensive language in it because the Black Hebrew Israelites are complete racists. This was the people that it seems, and I can't say for sure, so I'm not going to say for sure, but they were certainly cheering on in one of the videos. Cheering on Nathan Phillips going up to them. They were referring to him as an elder, so it seems like they might have been there as the same liberal activist groups just protesting the U.S. because they hate the U.S. But this is what was being yelled at the students before this quote-unquote confrontation with the noble Native American.
This is what the Lord is coming for.
All these peckerwoods with America, make America great. This nigga want to talk that garbage about nigga, what you want to do. Look at all these dusty-ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty-ass crackers. Can't stand in the damn sun for 5 minutes.
Why you don't build the damn wall?
Can't stand in the damn sun.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all want to build a wall for Mexicos? When's the last time you ever seen a Mexican, a Hispanic, a Native American, or a Negro shoot up a school?
Yeah, crickets. 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 Crickets.
That's your future school shooter.
That's right.
Yeah, now you got to run with that one.
Look at their ass. They ass scattered off of that one. They ass scattered off of that one.
Yeah. They look like they're about to shoot.
Look at
their
ass,
right,
Israel.
Now.
They ass gone off of that.
Crackers,
look at that mob of these dirty animals.
That's
they right. Gone.
That's how you dismiss them.
That's right.
The truth gonna be told, whether y'all wanna hear it or not. Thus saith the Lord. You don't see blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, and nobody on the face of the earth shooting up schools, shooting up churches, shooting up synagogues.
That's right.
But you got a problem with us.
That's right.
You want to build a wall.
That's right.
You can build a wall in front of Europe.
That's right.
Build a wall in front of Europe.
That's right.
You out your mind. You wanna build a wall of stolen land. You crackers are crazy.
That's right.
You crackers got some damn nerves.
They seem like a real nice group of guys, don't they? Real sane people. Yeah, yeah, they're lovely. That was what CNN sort of referred to as being taunted with racial slurs. That was about the extent of the coverage of these students being shouted at as they walked to the Lincoln Memorial. They were taunted with racial slurs. Yeah, a little bit. If this were reversed, of course, it would be a stop the presses moment, and they would not be able to contain their glee in reporting about how these horrible racist white guys, and still, what's amazing is these kids were reported as being the racists here. Yet we've got the black Hebrew Israelites and the noble Native American activists who actually were the racists being touted and brought forward or ignored as heroes. Oh my God, this Phillips guy, he's a hero. All he did was drum right in some kid's face. This is the left. This is the modern left. And you think, well, that's just the way it is. Well, CNN has a supposed conservative or somebody who's supposed to be right of center. All of their sort of right of center people on CNN aren't. They all suffer from Trump derangement syndrome and things that they used to profess their desire for happening. When they happen under Donald Trump, they say, well, this is an outrage. Donald Trump shouldn't have done it. They're insane people. One of them is Essie Cupp. She is only known because she used to appear on Hannity all the time. I never thought she belonged on Hannity. I think people who appear on cable news should have some knowledge. But you don't need knowledge anymore. You just have to be semi-attractive and willing to go on TV and talk about things you don't know about in a confident way. That's a tale for another day. But she now has, she had a show on Headline News that literally nobody watched. Well, not literally. There were tens of thousands of people, on the low end of tens of thousands of people, who watched the show. But she's got a pretty good contract, it seems, with CNN. So if they fired her outright, they'd still have to pay her. So they moved her show from the Headline News Network to Saturdays on CNN, Saturday evenings on CNN, which is death. I mean, CNN gets low ratings at any time. But do you know anybody who isn't trapped in an airport who watches CNN on Saturday evenings? Well, she did it's almost 3 minutes. And everything about it is a lie, is wrong, is shoddy. There's no reporting at all. It's her job. She's supposed to be a journalist. She's supposed to be a reporter. She's supposed to have some kind of standards. She has none. She swallowed the liberal narrative and turned it into an attack on the president when all these kids, now remember, and all these kids did, all the evidence shows, was stand there, minding their own business, and be accosted by a whole bunch of lefties. Listen to Essie Cupp's monologue with all that knowledge now, and keep that in mind of just how full of crap she is, and ask yourself, if you were in such a position, how embarrassed would you be as a person to have been proven so wrong, absolutely wrong? She hasn't addressed it.
You've probably seen it by now, the viral video sweeping the internet of a mob of MAGA hat-wearing high school students surrounding a Native American chanting and drumming in the nation's capital at the Indigenous People's March. The Native elder was identified as Nathan Phillips, a member of the Omaha Nation and a Vietnam vet. He and others were harassed and taunted by students from Covington Catholic High School, a private all-boys school in Kentucky, who, according to the school's Facebook page, were in D.C. attending the March for Life. As the students clashed with another group, Phillips walked between them in an attempt to defuse the situation. The videos have drawn outrage from all corners. The communications director with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington released a brief statement today saying, in part, "We condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic High School students toward Nathan Phillips specifically and Native Americans in general. The matter is being investigated and we will take the appropriate action up to and including expulsion." Congresswoman Deb Haaland of New Mexico also tweeted, "This veteran put his life on the line for our country. The student's display of blatant hate, disrespect, and intolerance is a signal of how common decency has decayed under this administration. Heartbreaking." And my CNN colleague, Kirsten Powers, tweeted at the school's superintendent, "What are you going to do about this, Superintendent Mike Kleins? This is absolutely contrary to Catholic teaching, and you know it. Do something. Also, these boys need a better education. You are failing them." Well, those are some tough words, and clearly these boys are not getting a good education, because it makes little sense to angrily chant "build the wall" to a population with literally zero illegal immigrants who were here long before we were. You could also say their parents have failed them. We should teach our kids to treat people with respect, regardless of our politics and our differences. But ultimately, this failure is all of ours. I wish I could say to these students, there's no place for this in our society. You can't do this when you get older. But unfortunately, I'm wrong. Adults model this very behavior all the time on social media and on the street, and it's awful. So what I would say to these kids is, don't be like us. Be better. I'm sorry that you see a president who talks gleefully about knocking people out and body slamming reporters. I'm sorry you see your elected officials inciting citizens to harass public officials at their homes and in restaurants. I'm sorry you see bigotry not only being tolerated but being boasted about. I'm sorry you live at a time when going viral is more rewarded than being moral. This is our fault, but you don't have to repeat our mistakes. Please don't.
Nothing you heard there from Essie Cupp was true. Nothing you heard was accurate. Nothing you heard with any sort of basic fact-checking or research or anything remotely close to journalism would have stood up to scrutiny. But it fit what Essie Cupp wanted to say. It fit her narrative. It's not just Essie Cupp. It just that clip, while long, perfectly exemplifies what the media is today. They got their teeth into a narrative, and they weren't going to let go of it. One small snippet of a video and a still photograph from that video, and they just filled in the blanks. Liberal actors, oh, this sweet, sweet man was, he stepped in between them to try and defuse the situation. Well, he's had three different versions of his story so far. He got in between to try and defuse it. He was going up there to see a friend and just trying to walk past these people. And these racists got in his way. And he was going to do a prayer circle around them. And he saw 500 years of oppression in his head in these high school students who had nothing to do with anything that ever happened to this guy or anybody who he ever knew. Journalism is dead, it was murdered, it was choked to death, and its zombie now exists. Its zombie corpse now exists. This is pathetic. And if I were S.E. Cupp, I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed of myself. The pious sort of elitist, I know best, and blaming everybody in society. Yes, it is society's fault. It's liberal society's fault that they keep falling for this crap every single time. BuzzFeed News, if you can call what BuzzFeed is news, reported late Thursday night that Michael Cohen, the president's former personal attorney, why he was out there and he had testified that he was ordered by the president to lie before Congress, to lie, to commit perjury to Congress about the Trump Tower, alleged Trump Tower going up that they wanted to put up in Moscow. Well, for the first time, the special counsel, Robert Mueller's office, issued a rebuke. They said this story wasn't true. BuzzFeed still, of course, stands by their story, but the special counsel's office doesn't often issue statements. They did in this case because the reporting was so egregious. The media, rather than doing any due diligence, you saw all day on Friday, CNN nonstop, MSNBC nonstop, panel after panel after panel of all the same people saying, well, this is an impeachable offense. This is it. We've got Donald Trump by the scruff of his neck. It is over. It's over. They were all predicated upon the BuzzFeed story, and every time they talked about it, they brought it up at the beginning, and then they said, we haven't yet been able to verify the story, but we're going to pretend that we did anyway. Normally, these stories, any kind of story that one outlet gets first, within a few hours, other outlets are able to say, you know what, we've verified this with our sources. In the case of BuzzFeed, they weren't able to do it. That didn't send up any red flags. They couldn't find anybody willing to say this, but it didn't send up any red flags. They all just said, well, we can't verify this, meaning we don't know if this is true or not. And then they proceeded to have a discussion for the vast majority of the day as if they had verified it, as if they, in fact, were the ones who discovered this so-called story in the first place. That's how pathetic news is. On CNN and MSNBC on Friday alone, they mentioned the word impeachment more than 200 times. They were a flutter. They had ordered so much lotion, they were ready to have a great weekend. Then the special counsel's denial came out, and the wheels came off. And that meant that the media had spent the better part of Friday until about 7 p.m. spreading a lie. And then, of course, Chuck Todd tweeted, oh, it's a shame that this will be used as a smear against the media by the president and his allies. No, what the shame is, Chuck, is that you went on a day-long rant about a lie. You had people looking into it, desperately trying to verify it, and couldn't. That should have caused a little bit of pause, a little bit of introspection, and said, maybe this isn't true. Maybe if we can't verify it, if nobody else is willing to go on record, maybe there's something funny going on here. The site Grabian, which compiles a whole bunch of clips of video from various news organizations throughout the day, mostly for talk radio. It's a subscription service, but occasionally they put things up for free. Compiled one day's worth of CNN employees talking and reporting on this so-called BuzzFeed bombshell that turned out to be a complete dud. Again, it's a little bit long. It's a day of long audio, but it's worth it just to give you a flavor of what essentially starting at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it's really 12 hours. And this isn't even all of it. 12 hours of cable news was like on Friday with a story that none of them could verify, but it didn't matter. It fit perfectly into the narrative. Listen to this.
If this BuzzFeed news report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that to certainly rises to the level of impeachable offense.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony, and at that point we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right. Is that an impeachable offense?
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
That is considered an impeachable offense.
Absolutely, these are impeachable offenses.
Inside that answer, I did hear the I word impeachable.
Impeachment is a very fine alternative way to deal with this.
Democrats will move maybe faster, maybe more aggressively toward impeachment.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
The very same offense for which the House of Representatives moved to impeach Richard Nixon.
In the past, been impeachable.
Yeah, that is the exact way that Nixon was kicked out of office.
It's one of the things that drove Richard Nixon out of office.
CNN has not corroborated this reporting.
CNN, we should be clear, has not independently confirmed this.
CNN has not independently confirmed this reporting.
It is important for us to note this morning that neither CNN nor any other major news outlet has so far confirmed BuzzFeed's reporting.
It didn't stop them from talking about it all day long, which is a lesser known Lionel Richie song. All day long, it was nonstop. Well, this is going to be impeachment. Look at blah, 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 blah. They should be embarrassed. They aren't. Instead, people like Chuck Todd are tweeting about, oh, geez, now the president's friends and fans are going to start using this against us. How about you stop crapping the bed and then nobody has anything to use against you? How about you do basic journalism? How about if there's a story out there that's too good to be true that perfectly fits your fever dreams, you don't report on it and you don't have panel discussions about it until you can get some verification of your own, because it was based on anonymous sources. So, you know, you should be suspicious of these things. It's a question that I think journalists would be very well served to ask themselves, which, of course, they won't ask themselves. Has there been a single story about Donald Trump that had to be corrected or retracted that originally made him look good? Or about any Republican? Because there are dozens, scores of stories the other way around. They're too good to fact check. They're immediately reported. And then the evidence comes out and says the exact opposite. They issue a correction. They issue a clarification or a complete retraction. You can remember, you can rack them off in your head just as easily as I can. Has there been a single story that needed to be retracted or corrected that originally made a Democrat look bad? You don't have to go just back in the Trump years. Go all the way back. Can you remember during the Obama administration any story? They're like, well, we have to clarify on that. We originally said that Barack Obama was killing puppies in the White House, and we now have verified that he was not, in fact, killing puppies in the White House. We apologize. We regret the error, and we retract the story. No, there was nothing, because they didn't bother to report on anything negative about Barack Obama. The IRS story was a blip on the radar, and when there was a congressional hearing, they covered it, but that was it. When Benghazi happened, they talked more about Nicola Nicola, the director or producer, whatever the hell he was, who made that really awful YouTube video. Not, it wasn't awful because it was offensive. It was offensive in a cinematic sort of way. It was really just crappy filmmaking. That was the Obama administration saying this is why there were riots and protests in the Middle East. It was all because of this video. And that's what happened. It was just a protest about a video that got out of hand when, in fact, it was a coordinated, planned, and targeted terrorist attack. But Barack Obama was running for re-election in 2012 when that happened under the banner that there are no Americans. The terrorist attack had terrorist attacks had pretty much ended. Remember? Osama bin Laden is dead and General Motors is alive. We haven't had a major terrorist attack on my watch. So having one happen on September 11th, 2012, right before the November elections, didn't really fit with that narrative. So they concocted the "this is because of a YouTube video" lie, and the media went right along with it because the media is on their team. It is sick. It is disgusting. It is not journalism. They should be ashamed of themselves, but they aren't. They should have, at one point in any number of these screw-ups, realized and felt a little bit of shame and said, you know what, maybe, just maybe, we should verify stuff before we start reporting it. But they don't. They don't. They aren't interested. They don't care. Because there are no consequences for it. The BuzzFeed reporters, one of which has a history of problem reporting, shall we say, back in 2004, I think it was, he'd reported for Truth Out, that liberal website, that Karl Rove was about to be indicted. It was over. It was a surefire fact. Of course, Karl Rove wasn't indicted. It was having to do with the Valerie Plame story. That was another joke. So this guy's got himself a little bit of a history of making stuff up or being factually challenged, yet that's just brushed under the rug. It doesn't matter because this story fits perfectly into their narrative. Now they have egg on their face that the special counsel came out and said this story isn't true, and they're backing away from it. They're not apologizing. BuzzFeed is still standing by it, and Democrats are still standing by it because it's what they want. Democrats have vowed to launch a congressional investigation into this story that has now been denied. They don't care. It's just an opening. All they want is an opening to issue subpoenas because that's all they're interested in doing. Democrats sure as hell aren't interested in opening the government again. They sure as hell aren't interested in securing our southern border. They aren't interested in defending Americans. They're interested in telling Donald Trump no. And along those lines, on Saturday, the President of the United States came out and said that he is offering Democrats an extension of DACA, of the sweet, sweet, nourishing dreamers who are nothing but the best, better than your kids, better than you, to Democrats. He's offering them a deal, 3-year extension, plus the people here on temporary relief. They can stay for another 3 years as well, in exchange for $5 billion for a wall. Before the president made his statement, there's nothing really new in the statement except for the deal, which I just told you about. Before the statement was made by the President of the United States, literally an hour before, Nancy Pelosi released a statement rejecting the offer. Not countering it, nothing. There does seem to be a bit of a crack in the Democratic coalition, a bigger crack, because many Democrats are saying, well, these are temporary fixes to this problem, yet the wall is permanent. Sort of implicit in that is, if you make these other things permanent, then maybe we can talk about a permanent wall. If you're willing to do permanent for permanent, we can do that. It's not coming from Democratic leadership. I don't know. I don't think that's a particularly good deal. But still, it's a deal. It shows a willingness to talk and a little bit of frustration with leadership in the House of Representatives. But it is... you know what? I wasn't going to be able to get any of these in today because I was so pissed off about that racist crap and it just seemed to shoehorn it in. Weird to shoehorn it in, but we'll shoehorn in one of these things. A shutdown story. From Congressman Rick Larson's Twitter feed, Washington's 2nd Congressional District. Since the partial shutdown began, I heard from people across Washington's 2nd District about impacts. One Skagit woman's USDA Rural Development Housing voucher was not finalized before the shutdown. Result, she has been unable to move into her apartment and is staying in a motel. Hashtag shutdown stories. Now, I don't know how you can't afford to move into your apartment without a government voucher, but you can afford to stay in a motel. The congressman didn't elaborate on that. But if I heard that story, that would be my question. You need a government handout to get an apartment, but you can stay. You can afford to stay in a motel. Couldn't you use the money you're spending on a motel to move into your apartment? Couldn't you cover some of that? Couldn't you do? I don't know how it works, but I would think that that would be a question a normal person would have. Of course, we're not dealing with normal people. It's a drag. I know the shutdown stories are very popular. I get all the emails about it. It just seemed weird to sort of shove it in earlier in the show when I was talking about that race thing, because it's such crap. And that was the big story that really pissed me off over the weekend. So we'll have more for tomorrow's show, and there's always more every single day. Finally, today, I want to talk about the Women's March. It happened on Saturday, but you wouldn't know that it happened on Saturday. It was very small. The wheels had come off because of the racism and the anti-Semitism expressed by the leaders of the Women's March, the Linda Sarsours and the Tamika Mallorys of the world. In fact, Tamika Mallory sat down with Margaret Hoover, who hosts the show on PBS nobody watches called Firing Line. If this video weren't posted on social media, nobody would have heard of it. She sat down with Tamika Mallory. Now, remember, this woman is a huge fan, an acolyte of Louis Farrakhan, racist, anti-Semite. They always focus on the anti-Semitism. They kind of gloss over the racism. But she was asked whether or not Israel has a right to exist. And her answer was basically, everybody has a right to exist. Well, Israel isn't a person. Israel is a nation. She dodges the question because she doesn't believe Israel has a right to exist. She pretends she's answering the question, do Jews have a right to exist? And she says everybody has a right to exist. But she also says that Palestinians should have that land. Look, it's their land. They've been there a very long time. Of course, the Arabs didn't invade that area until about 700 AD. Jews had been there for about 2,000 years before then. So if you're talking about who plants the flag first, there's no question that the Jewish claim on Israel is much greater than the so-called Palestinian claim. But she doesn't let the facts stand in the way of a good story. She can't answer whether or not Israel has a right to exist by claiming. She says, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a Jew. Anyway, this exchange is very disturbing and very funny, and also ignored by the mainstream media, which covered the Women's March like it was something that still mattered and wasn't a horrible racist anti-Semite organization. Listen to the clip.
The Palestinians are native to the land. You know, they were there for a very long time, and so they're native to the land.
Do you feel that the Jewish people are native as well?
I mean, I know, I understand the history that, you know, that there are people who have a number of sort of ideologies around why the Jewish people feel this should be their land. I'm not Jewish, so for me to speak to that is not fair.
If you're willing to say that the Palestinians are native but not the Jews are native, I mean, you're not Palestinian either.
Because I'm speaking of the people who we know are being brutally oppressed in this moment. That's just the reality.
Oh, yes, they're brutally oppressed and launching rockets. They control West Bank and Gaza. They could pretty much run them however they want. They're launching rockets, spending their money launching rockets into Israel, building tunnels to smuggle bombs into Israel to try and kill innocent people. But they're being brutally oppressed by being able to govern their own lands. Yes, yes, they're the victims here. I agree. The Palestinian people are the victims of the Palestinian leadership and the American anti-Semite wing of, well, the progressive movement is the anti-Semite wing of the progressive movement here in the United States that enables, empowers, and emboldens those oppressive leaders to oppress their people. But Tamika wasn't done. You can tell she gets very angry at the end here. I'm done talking about this. Listen, this is funny and sad.
Is it your view that Israel has a right to exist as a nation?
I have said many times that I feel everyone has a right to exist. I feel everyone has a right to exist. I just don't feel that anyone has a right to exist at the disposal of another group.
In your view, does that include Israelis in Israel?
I believe that all people have the right to exist and that Palestinians are also suffering with a great crisis and that there are other Jewish scholars who will sit here and say the same. I'm done talking about this.
Okay.
So you can move.
Okay. I just don't think it requires scholarly knowledge to be able to say that Israel has a right to exist.
I believe everyone has the right to exist.
Everyone having the right to exist and a nation having the right to exist are two entirely different things. She's not addressing the question again, just like when she was asked on The View last week whether or not she condemns the anti-Semitism spewed by Louis Farrakhan. She just says, I don't agree with everything he says. She wouldn't specifically condemn it. She could have just said, of course I do, and moved on. But she didn't say, of course I do, and move on, because of course she doesn't. She doesn't. She supports this. Now, knowing this, and this is one of the co-founders of the Women's March and the leaders of the Women's March, and many of the other leaders of the Women's March share this hatred of Israel and Jews, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was asked about this because, of course, being a good progressive, she spoke at the Women's March up in Washington, up in New York. She didn't address the question. She's asked us about the anti-Semitism of the leaders of the Women's March, and she attacks the President of the United States as an anti-Semite, of course. The President of the United States, who is so anti-Semitic that his daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren are Orthodox Jews. So if Donald Trump is an anti-Semite, he's really bad at it. He doesn't understand how it works. Listen to this ridiculous exchange with Alexandria.
What would you say to some of those people who have concerns about anti-Semitism within the Women's March group?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think that right now in this moment in the United States, we have to center this conversation. I think that concerns of anti-Semitism with the current administration in the White House are absolutely valid. And we need to make sure that we are protecting the Jewish community and all those that feel vulnerable in this moment.
Oh, it's Donald Trump's fault that the Women's March is led up by a bunch of female Hitlers. That's what it is. A whole bunch of female Stalins leading the Women's March is Donald Trump's fault. The guy with the Jewish daughter and top advisor and grandchildren. That guy, he's an anti-Semite, right? You know, there are a string of attacks on Jews in New York City, particularly in Brooklyn right now, which isn't that far from where AOC represents and where she lives. And I bet she hangs out there a lot, or at least did. She hasn't commented on that. The city sort of brushes it under the rug. They don't really care because they don't advocate anti-Semitism. They don't embrace, they are anti-Semitism. That is where it lives these days, ladies and gentlemen. And they give themselves a pass. They are their own priests. They offer themselves absolution. She asked about the anti-Semitism in the Women's March, and her answer is, yeah, everybody should be concerned because of what Donald Trump is doing. Is Donald Trump inspiring the women you're following to be anti-Semites? Is that Donald Trump's fault? Is that what we're supposed to believe, Alexandria? That's what she wants you to believe. She can't answer the question honestly because, honestly, she's an anti-Semite. She goes right along with these people. She does what she's told. She's a good foot soldier. It's sickening. And she is a media hero who will not be called out on any of this crap. You won't see that clip on MSNBC or CNN or any of the nightly newscasts. It will not be condemned. There will not be calls to offer a rebuke in Congress of her. It'll just be ignored and moving on. Because she's got a D after her name, and that D is not really a D. It's a shield that protects them from all allegations of hypocrisy. That is all the time we have for today. There'll be more shutdown stories on the show tomorrow. I just only had time to get one in. It's the only place it seemed appropriate. But this story isn't going away anytime soon. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. And be back here tomorrow for another exciting episode.
I'm sorry you live at a time when going viral is more rewarded than being moral.